Americana with your hosts,
Benzie and Will.
Thanks for tuning in.
Hello, welcome back to Americana, everybody.
Welcome, welcome. Hi, Benz.
Hi, Will. It feels like it's been a little bit of time.
It's been a while, you know. Tell everyone what you've been up to, because you've been a busy girl.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I did have to make an emergency trip due to there being a death in the family. So my dad and I flew up to New Jersey for a week, which is why there had been a little bit of delay in uploading our more recent episodes and recording. But it was a good time. You know, even though it was a sad circumstance, yeah. I was with my family, and I love spending time with them. I'm really close to a lot of them up there. So, yeah, it really... Like I said, even despite the circumstances, it was so relaxing. And the time, like, you living up there, you know that around this time of the year is really nice up there.
It is. It's like the nice in between winter and, well, you know, springtime is nice. And I think when you went, you got really good weather. It was like in the 70s and almost 80s, I feel like some days.
Yeah, the first day was a little warmer than I wanted it to be. I think I prepared thinking it was going to be really, really cold. But it was around the time that I went for your wedding a couple years ago. And it was similar weather. So there were some nights that were down to 40 or 50, but in the morning it was like between 60 and 75. So it was really nice.
Awesome. We missed you.
Aww.
We missed you. We have our little mascot here, Isla.
Who is a giant now.
I know.
I didn't see her for like, what, 2 weeks?
I know. She's got, we took her for her shots. Aww. Today, actually, we gave her baby food for the first time.
She loved it.
She is like, you know, smacking her lips, and she loved it.
So actually, in the meantime, over the past couple of weeks, you have actually worked a little harder on your private blog.
Oh yeah, my Lion's Orchid, which has been fun. I went to a mommy or baby expo this weekend, and that was fun. Some of my friends are now expecting to, and one of them actually went with me, and we went together, and it was so much fun. I love getting baby swag. I love going to baby expos. You know I love getting free stuff. So we went, and it was tons of fun. We got a bunch of little samples, and that was fun. What else? Nothing really. That's about, I have nothing that exciting to report. And you also started a little side project of love, right?
Yeah. So mine is, being an English major, I have taken some poetry classes, and I would see a lot of poetry on Instagram, and I'm like, that's cool, but it doesn't quite portray what I'm feeling right now. So I actually started my own separate Instagram, which is specifically for poetry. So if you wanted to follow either one of us, follow Wilkes if you are a new mom, or even if you're planning an event. She is at Lion's Orchid on Instagram. And my poetry Instagram is similar to my my podcast alias, but it's Benny versus Benzie. And that's Benny underscore speaks on Instagram as well.
Yeah, no, it is awesome. You have a lot of nice little, nice poetry, nice poems. I'm not creative. I'm not really good with words either.
You know, it really, and you probably experienced this since you're doing your own personal blog, it really exposes you a little bit. And you're just like, here's this thing that I, you know, that I wrote. And it was kind of like, I remember writing something about this back in my undergrad years, and it was just like, you create and cultivate like a garden, and then you open up the gates, and you just hope that people can come in and not stomp all over your flowers.
It's true, I know. It is very vulnerable to put yourself out there like that, but it is also nice and rewarding. So that's exciting. I'm excited for you and your new endeavor.
Thank you. Speaking of vulnerable, actually, if you haven't already caught up, our last episode was a little vulnerable. We talked about our insecurities.
And that one was, it's true. I think most women, especially, or just anyone in general, we have insecurities, and having them open, out in the open, it does make it very terrifying, but also good to know that it's okay. You know, you're perfect the way you are. So, any rumors? Do you have any for me?
Well, today, actually, you guys are listening to this in the future, but today's the last day that you can, or anyone can enjoy the unicorn frappuccino.
Oh, goodness. The magical, glittery, I don't even know, concoction from Starbucks.
Yeah, apparently it's like the cream base with like mango syrup.
And then like sour.
Yeah, like a sweet and sour kind of mix. So it's kind of pink and purple.
Neither one of us have tasted it, but there was like a video, I don't know if you saw it, it went viral. viral of like a barista who was like telling people, don't order the unicorn frappuccino. It's the worst. Like, apparently it's like so hard to make. Mm-hmm. And like, there were so many orders the day it came out that he was just like, I smell like it. I'm sticky. I'm full of, like, you know, it's hard to make. I hate it.
I mean, that's why they only did it for a few days. I think it was 5 or 6 days tops. Katy Perry apparently took one sip and spit it out.
Yeah, apparently it's super not appetizing. It looks pretty. It doesn't taste so good.
Yeah, and it's mostly Instagram worthy because it looks it looks cute, you know. Yeah. Other people saying it tastes just like the vanilla frappuccino.
Okay.
Other people are... Harry Potter fans in particular are saying you're drinking unicorn blood, and that is, you know, that is what Voldemort did in book one to keep himself alive. Like,
so the biggest gossip about it really is how much sugar it has.
Oh my gosh, it was something crazy, like 36 grams
of
sugar.
I thought it was like in the 50s.
Oh, probably, but it's our recommended sugar intake from added sugar a day is 25. Yeah. So anything above that on one drink,
it's like diabetes in a purple glittery cup. And so what they were saying, I saw this really it was this post that it was like 4 Starbucks drinks. And it was like, everybody's stressing out over how much sugar the unicorn drink has, but the caramel frappuccino has like 45 grams of sugar. And
like,
the vanilla frappuccino, you know, you're just like, oh, like, they're like, wake up, people. Like, all of those drinks at Starbucks are full of sugar.
Yeah, well, ultimately, if you happen to have tried it, let us know if you took a picture for the gram.
I know.
And also, if you think it's something that you would order again if it were to come back. Because my analysis from what I've seen online and others have told me, it's apparently not horrible tasting. It's just not really worth the hype, I guess.
So. I mean, like most things are,
right? I think. Yeah, it's more hyped up than
I mean, they're really pretty. And it's like a blogger's dream.
Right. But it's only pretty for the first few hundred people that take pictures. Yeah. Other than that, you're like, eh,
it's
this
like,
is
done. Another unicorn done snap, to death. You know, over it.
So, what other rumors do you have for us?
Oh, my goodness. So, and talking about new mommies, we have Serena Williams joining the new mommy crew. She's, you know, she slipped up and posted on Snapchat, and she captioned a picture saying 20 weeks, and, like, I guess she realized and deleted it, and you know what we've said plenty of times before. The internet does not forgive, okay?
No, or forget.
It lives on forever, and someone grabbed it, posted about it, like, Serena's pregnant. Which is amazing because she was, you were just telling me, and it's true, she's 20 weeks, so she was pregnant during her last big competition, which she won.
Yeah, so she dominated at the Australian Open. By the way, she's pregnant with her partner, Alexis Ohanian, who's one of the founders
engaged.
Of Reddit. Yeah, and she that was in January, so she was, whether she knew it or not, pregnant when she won the Australian Open.
Amazing. I mean, just, we already knew she was superwoman, but geez,
girl. I mean, this just takes the cake.
Morning sickness and all, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and if you do the math, she's probably very early pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't even realize she was pregnant yet.
Yeah.
But doesn't change anything. I mean, still. Come on. How many people can say they won a major competition in their sport, you know?
It's like, or like the funny meme you saw, like, oh, Serena's 20 weeks pregnant. I hope I'm the baby.
That was hilarious.
It's like, and another mom, I mean, Beyonce, the Queen Bee, you know, the Coachella happened a couple, now it's been like 2 weeks, I think it happened, and she was going to be one of the big headliners, and, you know, she pulled out, and they brought in Lady Gaga to replace her, but she posted, you know, she never posts on Insta, but she did a whole Easter collage, and she looks ready to pop, and you know, she's still a couple months out, but
yeah,
they are having
she's
twins.
Not having the baby anytime soon.
Yeah, but they are having twins, and usually, so now it's like, I know a lot of people said that she wasn't pregnant with Blue, but it's one of those, like, her face, does look preggo.
I mean, she very much, even with the announcement, wanted to make it clear that she was going to, that she was the one carrying this child, because she knew the controversy that came up.
I know, so from she's the like, blood out, I'm pregnant, okay?
Yeah.
Anything else? There's,
Oh, actually, speaking about Coachella, something that I was noticing was, you go there and you have to look like a complete fairy goddess hippie.
Oh my goodness.
So, a couple years ago, the big trend was flower crowns, which I'm sure you still see tons of those year by year. So there was a lot of controversy about the Indian headdresses from people who are Native American, who kind of felt like you know, my culture is not a fashion statement. Yeah. You know, so a lot of things even at H&M were pulled, like some headdresses that they had sold around the festival time. Mm-hmm. But right now, I don't know if you've noticed, but right now I feel like the big trend was, oh, space buns were big a couple years ago.
Yeah, like, or the fun buns, like some people buns, call them, yeah. Oh my God.
But now it's like glitter on top of the eyebrows. I even saw glitter on their butts.
And those dots. Mm-hmm. Those, like, little sticky dots on their forehead.
It's kind of like Gwen Stefani in the late 90s.
I know, I know. I mean, I'm glad because, you know what? Because if you guys go flashback or throwback to our appropriate appropriation episode, it kind of fed off of Coachella and how... Mm-hmm. And especially now with the whole pipeline and just of, like, the disrespect that I think Native Americans are receiving now, if they would have had that on top of it, it's just like, come on, they are not a fashion statement. Exactly. You know, like, they actually have history and they're being treated unfairly.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be some music festival thing.
It's a little trend of people that don't really understand what's going on, you know? So are there any other rumors that we can think of that we might have missed?
A little rumor which will tie into our topic a little nicely, you know, unfortunately, is we all know Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, he was the Patriots football player who was convicted of having murdered.
Yep.
Was it his girlfriend?
No, he was convicted of murdering his fiance's sister's boyfriend.
Okay, okay.
Uh-huh. Who, and I was living in Rhode Island when this was happening, his, like, whole court thing. Mm-hmm. So it was a big news story because it was right after the Patriots had won the Super Bowl, and it was during the off season. He had just signed a new contract, and then they come and they, like, arrest him, you know, 9 days after Odin Lloyd is his victim's name. So he was convicted of that, and then he was also being another trial for a double murder. And he recently, with Baez, who we all know is who got, are all Floridians know about Casey Anthony, you know, he got her, you know, her found not guilty as well. So he got found not guilty for the double murder recently, and literally like 2 days after being found not guilty, he committed suicide.
Well, I'm not as well versed because you are more of the sports fanatic than I am, but a lot of people are saying he was killed, he did not kill himself. That was one theory, but what's the other theory that you were countering?
So the theory that I've seen, and it's kind of got, I don't know, it's, to me, it's not a theory. To me, I feel like it is what it is.
Like it's got some legs on it.
Yeah, because it does make sense, and I've seen it on some sports news that I follow. And it's so Massachusetts law is worked out where if you're under appeal of a conviction and you die during that appeal stage, then the original conviction is void.
Okay.
So now his conviction is revoked, so now he's, you know, not guilty of the murder that he was convicted of last year. So the Odin Lloyd murder. So now his contract with the Patriots is also put back into action because he wasn't, he wasn't found guilty, apparently, you know, with this law. So now the money that they still owed him can go to his family.
Well, I mean, is that a given? That the Patriots contract will not... I mean, they've canceled contracts for other lesser things. Yeah,
the thing is that they can then sue. The family can then sue because it's guaranteed. The way football contracts works is, like, you're guaranteed.
Okay. Like, regardless of injury or anything like that?
Right.
Okay.
So he, that money still can go to his family, which is something where, like, when the suicide came out, a lot of people were left like, what the heck? He was just... You know, not guilty, you're in the middle of appeal, why would he kill himself? It didn't make sense. And now they are saying that they're going to see if he was smoking, you know, marijuana or if it was cut up with something so synthetic and see if that's what kind of drove him crazy. But apparently he left suicide notes and, you know, it's one of those things that maybe he did it for that purpose of, like, leaving his daughter with something, because he does have a 4-year-old little girl with his fiance, and it's crazy, him and his fiance have been together since, like, elementary school.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, he definitely had a reason.
Yeah.
If he did
So it's one of those, like, well, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say it's good that he did it, because it's suicide.
I guess it was his way of of thinking to himself, I'm going to go on my terms, if this thing
and
is correct.
It's one of those things that, I don't know, it kind of hurts me a little bit because I think, well, he decided how he was going to die. Mm-hmm. And so the closure that the family of his victim had, where it was like, okay, this guy killed my son, my brother, my friend, he's going to jail for the rest of his life. Right? So it was kind of some kind of closure, but now it's kind of like, well, he killed my loved one, and also he killed himself, so he decided that for himself, too.
Yeah, I mean, technically he was in jail for the rest of his life, if mm-hmm. you want to, you know, break it down that way, but if anything, I mean, I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through his head where he's like, I am no good to my family or my mm-hmm. daughter in jail. Right. I know I'm not going to, even if the appeal comes through, it's probably parole after 20 years or something yeah. crazy. My daughter's going to resent me for this and that, and she's yeah. not going to live a good life without this money. Yep. If that theory is correct, then he probably thought this is the one noble act that can do on her behalf. You know?
Right.
Now, I said that he had a reason, and speaking of reasons, mm-hmm. The topic for today is very similar to the topic that we encountered right now with Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, so if anyone is Netflix and chilling to the most popular, I think apparently it's like broken records, it's like one of the most popular Netflix shows mm-hmm. Since Netflix ever. It's 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
It's a show based on the book of the same name, 13 Reasons Why, by Jay Asher, I think is the, or John Asher. I'm so sorry if I'm butchering that right now.
Well, I do want to first preface everything that if you are sensitive to any sort of topics or if you are afraid of triggers, this might be the good time for you to tune out and turn into another episode. If you are unfamiliar with 13 Reasons Why, it does have to do with topics such as teen suicide and depression, so
yeah.
and mental health in general. So just take this as an out if you feel like this might be a trigger for some of you or anyone yeah. who you might be listening to. Otherwise, we're just going to move forward. So yeah, it's the premise of a young girl who, she ends up killing herself, and there's no debate about it. She definitely right. killed herself in the show, and this is based off of a book. Wilkes, you said you read it.
Yeah, I read it. It's an old book, actually. It came out about 10 years ago already, and it's the same as the title goes. It's 13 Reasons Why, or People Why, this girl, Hannah Baker, commits suicide. So it kind of starts off with her, and it's tapes that she recorded leading up to, like, she had decided she was going to do it, and then she wanted to leave why. Mm-hmm. So it's told by the perspective of the character Clay.
Who's her friend.
Uh-huh. Who's kind of had a crush on her, but really never, like, spoke up about it. And so he's kind of like, you know, trying to, like, he gets these tapes and he's just like, wait, what did I do that I'm on these series of tapes, you know? Like, I was nothing but good to her, I liked her, mm-hmm. Did I kill her? So, like, this kid throughout the whole thing is, like, having nightmares, like, he's seeing things, like, you know, he's stressing out, like, what did I do that caused her to commit suicide, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is my kind of, I don't know, my qualm with it. I don't like, when I read the book, I didn't like the book. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the show, I didn't like the show because it's just, Hannah Baker is not a, I don't know. And I feel like a bad person for saying this. I don't like her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, like, it's almost harassment because so she sends these tapes and she also has copies of them that she gave to a separate person. And that separate person is supposed to make sure that everyone reads, listens to the tapes. And if they don't listen to them, then he's going to publicize them. Mm-hmm. So it's almost harassment because yeah. the separate guy, his name's Tony, he's like following everyone, making sure they listen to it, like in the background. Like yeah. She leaves like a map with the tapes and it's just like kind of pinpoints different places that she talks about throughout the tapes. So he follows people, like he'll go and to make sure, like, okay, yeah, if he's at the park, then he knows that he's on tape 5 or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just one of those things, like you're forcing people to listen to these tapes, and now you have them under the thing that they're going to be published if you don't.
So it's either way you're going to watch this. Mm-hmm. And I think that, first of all, when I went to New Jersey, my younger cousins who are high school aged, did watch it, and they were in tears, and they're like, oh my god, I love it, it's so great. But a lot of backlash actually came forward because of the content. And of course, like you mentioned, because it was written in a book format, mm-hmm. it's not like if, you know, they had some creative liberty, but this was something that was written a while back.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez is one of the executive producers,
mm-hmm.
and they apparently were wanting the suicide scenes to be as not gratuitous, but as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
And they were just like, we want to make sure that people understand that this is not a pretty thing. This is real. This is very, you know, suicide is real. It's not glamorous, mm-hmm. and we're not trying to glamorize it. But people are concerned because some stats have shown that once the media, granted they're talking about real life events, but once the media publicizes how a suicide attempt was attempted or how it was committed, there had been a spike in that form of suicide.
Yeah.
And so they're just concerned that this is making people who are already prone to mental health issues or prone to having suicidal thoughts think that now there's an added layer to that pressure where they feel like there's some sort of revenge fantasy involved.
Yes, that's exactly what I don't like, that it's like it is a revenge. It's mm-hmm. a blame game, right? Like these people are listening to how they might have affected this girl's life, you know, and so it's one
and
of those
things.
These
people now, in turn, probably have this their own mental health issue that they have to struggle through.
Yeah,
because one girl, I mean, as bad as this can come off, and people won't like me saying this necessarily, but I have heard that suicide is selfishness. You know, it's a permanent solution to what is probably considered a temporary problem.
That's exactly my thing with it. Like each of the tapes and each of the instances were in high school. Well, you know, in our couple episodes back, like how we mentioned how in high school every little problem feels like the end of the world, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, like, this is a permanent thing to temporary pain, right? Like, mm-hmm.
And you're passing that pain on to other people.
Whether
you make a tape or not, you're passing the pain on to others.
And it's one of those direct blame. It's not something like let's say someone commits suicide and you think, oh my gosh. It's like when you're supposed to smile at every stranger you meet because you don't know their problem. It's mm-hmm. one of those things like, oh my god, I didn't say hi to her, or I didn't talk to her enough, and I made fun of her one day. Then you start one of those. No. This is like directly, no, you did this, and this is one of the reasons why I decided to end my life. Like, mm-hmm. that is a burden that she gave to these kids that feels unfair, you know?
Yeah, and people will argue, well, they put a burden on her. True, mm-hmm. But why would you pay kind and kind? But I guess it's one of the biggest issues that people are facing is because it does come off as a revenge fantasy. When people take revenge, I don't think revenge is necessarily a good thing, but when people take revenge, they hope to be around to feel it. They hope to be around to see it, mm-hmm. and to see it take place. And sometimes somebody can wrong us and we're like, you know what, she's going to get, you know, she's going to get what's coming to her. But you may or may not be able to witness that. You may or may not be able to run into your enemy 10 years later and see whether they got what was due to them. This girl, Hannah Baker, will absolutely not. And so it's very easy to forget that because mm-hmm. as viewers, we kind of feel like, yeah, you know, they got what was coming to them. Well, Hannah, if this was a true story, the person who killed themselves will never see it. They'll never get to know. They'll never be able to forgive these people.
Right.
They'll never be free of this burden because they've killed themselves. They're not free in that sense, you know?
So some of the main topics I wanted us to talk about was, like, suicide and bullying and why maybe now this show is striking such a chord. Like, why do you think it's so popular?
Well, it definitely, bullying is not anything new, you know, it's something that people can say that it existed 50, 70 years ago, and I'm mm-hmm. sure it did, you know, but I don't think it started getting any sort of traction in media until maybe about 15 years ago mm-hmm. or so, and then you start seeing a lot of even crime dramas and things about kids who did kill themselves and were bullied. It was cyberbullying when social media became as big as it did.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I spoke episodes ago about the social media monster, and one of the attacks mm-hmm. of the social media monster is the feeling that you're under everyone's watchful eye, you know, and because of that, everyone has access to you.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why it's more visible nowadays than it ever was before.
And it's unfortunate because now I think when we compare bullying now to maybe when we were in elementary school and high school,
mm-hmm.
it turned off after you left school, right? Like, yeah. If you were bullied at school, then you were bullied at school.
And that was it.
That was it. So you went home and it was like your safe zone, right? But now it's, you're bullied at school, but then you go home and you can't escape from it because of Instagram, because of Facebook, because of Twitter, because of, you know, group messaging and everything. And it's crazy because this same thing, if you remember Tyler Clementi, a couple years ago, he committed suicide because his roommate, remember, turned on the webcam mm-hmm. and, like, videotaped him having relations with, like, a partner. So he actually graduated from the high school I attended, and it was a big thing in Jersey, you know, very sad, tragic. And I bring it up only because the roommate, he was tried, right? Like, the parents sued. So another thing in this, Hannah Baker's parents are suing the school. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those that they, you know, while Hannah's blaming these students, people, mm-hmm. the parents are like, well, no, it's the school's fault, right? Because the school didn't pay attention. But in reality, Hannah Baker is like the opposite of a suicidal kid. Like, she was, yeah, maybe she didn't have that many friends, but all the popular people knew her. She mm-hmm. would go to parties, and she didn't seem like the loner type, mm-hmm. you know? She had a good relationship with her parents. So it's one of those things that it's just like, I guess you really don't know.
You don't, and you can train anybody to see certain signs, but mm-hmm. the signs are not going to manifest the same in every way. It's really easy to look at somebody who's popular and think that their life is great, but we don't know what kind of pressure they're under. I mean, the whole message of the show is be kind to everyone, because you never know what someone's going through. Yeah. But we've all done and said, or not done, or not said something that could have sparked something in someone else, you know. And mm-hmm. there was actually somebody who killed themselves from my school about a year after we graduated, and a friend of mine, she was feeling very guilty because she was friends with him, they hadn't spoken in some time, and he called her the night before he had committed suicide, or the night that he committed suicide, he called her, and then a few hours later they found him. Oh, and so goodness. She felt like, I didn't get to the phone, I didn't call him back, you know, mm-hmm. what could I have done differently? But how many times don't we miss phone calls? And there's yeah. no way we can possibly know.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's again, agreeing with your perspective, Wilkes, where it's like, now this is a burden that she's carried mm-hmm. 10 years plus now at this point.
Yeah.
Feeling like, could I have done something different? And yeah, it's important that we're all mindful of those things, but handing those tapes off and forcing someone to yeah. see them and like placing this kind of burden on them now mm-hmm. is traumatizing, and it just continues a cycle. And mm-hmm. we don't know what any of these 13 people are dealing with anymore.
That's the thing. In the show, you know? In the book, you know, these kids, that they all have their own issues, right? Like, I think everyone to a point is selfish.
Yeah.
And we only think the world revolves around us. Like, mm-hmm. we only see our problems, mm-hmm. you know, but we don't think, well, you know, one of her friends in the show or in the book, one of the reasons her friend, she was raped, mm-hmm. you know, but she didn't know. Like, she was drunk at a party. Her dad is in the military. She's an alcoholic on the low. Like, she's going through her own inner turmoils. Like, she thinks she was raped, you know, and obviously she listened to the tape, so she knows. But everyone is hiding the fact because it's like a snowball, right? So if they admit to that rape, then they have to admit that everything on the tape is true. On mm-hmm. the tapes are true, and they don't want to, you know, all the other people. And so she's thinking, you know, no, I wasn't raped. They're saying it's a lie. Obviously, Hannah's a liar, you know. But then she realizes, no, it's true, and now she's got to deal with that she's the reason why one of her best friends killed herself, and also she was raped. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. It's one of those things that I like that it's started a conversation, an open topic about suicide.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the show did it justice. Like, after, I wish it would have given the suicide hotline after every episode or before every episode, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The scene, like you said, like, it does feel like an instructional thing. Like, mm-hmm. you can see her clearly do it, mm-hmm. and it's graphic, and it's almost just like, come on, like, a lot. Kids are so impressionable, and this is not something where it's rated R.
Geared towards only adults.
Yeah, know? No, this is accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. At the same time, because it's Netflix, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, they could have, like, not shown her slit her wrist, you know, they could have panned up or something, and I don't know, it just felt, instructional to me. Mm-hmm. And not enough, like, hey, if you're having this problem, if you notice anything, like, call this number, you know, nothing until that last episode.
Yeah, and, like, who's making it to the last episode without having, you know, like, as I mentioned earlier, people are sensitive to triggers in ways that others who might not be struggling with certain mental health issues are not sensitive to, you know, and mm-hmm. we can never know. I think that's really where everyone's mind is. It's you never know. You never know who's going through something. Be kind, but it's also you never know who's struggling with something. And so is it safe to put these kind of things out there? You can tell parents, make sure you're watching what your kid, listen, your mm-hmm. kid has a phone.
Yeah.
They have Netflix passwords. And they're going to watch it
whether you're watching it or not. And that's crazy. And you know what's so striking also with the whole premise of the book and show is that Hannah Baker, they show her at home and they talk about her home life, and it's an awesome, like, her parents love her, they tell her they love her, they mm-hmm. say shoot for the stars, you know, do what you want, like, it's a great home, right? She doesn't leave them a note. She, you know, her parents, like, don't even know she has friends. Like, mm-hmm. she goes to the mom goes to the school to pick up her belongings, and she's like, but she's such a happy kid, and, you know, but she had no friends. Like, she didn't even know her school life. So it goes to show that as much as you think you know your kids, you don't know mm-hmm. their school life, right? Like, who they are at school and all that. And, what I really don't love about the show is their tagline, and it's "We All Killed Hannah Baker," mm-hmm. and it's like, well, no, Hannah Baker killed Hannah Baker, right? Like, mm-hmm. she always had a choice to be her own hero, right? Mm-hmm. She always had the choice to save her life, like, just to think, like, hey, I'm really sad right now, but this is all small, right?
And I mean, I'm not pretending to be a health professional, I'm just an observer, but to put that as a tagline, "We all killed Hannah Baker," it takes all of the pressure, all of the responsibility off of her, mm-hmm. and for someone who might be struggling with suicidal tendencies or thoughts, suddenly they also feel like, this is not me doing this, it was your fault, it was mm-hmm. your fault.
And it rationalizes suicide.
Yeah, and it makes it so that it's almost like, yep, you have no responsibility. No, you do. Mm-hmm. And your action in killing yourself and ending your life is a decision that you've made that's impacting everyone around you, whether yeah. you're blaming them or whether you love them dearly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, now the burden that you carried, you felt, I can't take this anymore, I'm going to just end my life. Well, it's not like the burden goes away. The burden is now passed on to others mm-hmm. who you claim to love, you know, yeah. and I'm not saying claim in the sense of like, oh yeah, you really love them. It's more of like, if you're dealing with something, why would you hand it off to a loved one?
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like she wanted others to save her, but she never looked for that help. You know, yeah. like, it was, like, an inner turmoil, and it's, like, these people aren't gonna read your mind. They don't know that this one thing that, out of the bigger picture, like, an isolated thing, it's really not that bad, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not do or die, right? Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm saying, like, it's out of it. But yeah, with yeah. the snowball, when you're seeing it, and you're just like, oh my god, this led into this, led into this.
I mean,
and it feels big.
That's what I'm saying. If we're being honest, even me as an adult, if those kind of things were I was struggling with them, I feel like it would definitely be a big situation yeah. for me. I don't think I would end my life.
No.
You know, but yeah, it's a sensitive topic, and anybody who tries to, I mean, they had to have known that it's a sensitive, vulnerable, potentially triggering kind of topic or theme to explore. And so they probably tried to handle it with as much care and compassion as possible. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, had to know there's going to be backlash, but hopefully things as minor as the actors, the storyline, the respect that we might be giving anybody will yeah. hopefully make up for it. But at the end of the day, they are using teen suicide as entertainment.
Yeah, and it's almost romanticizing it. Mm-hmm. Like, so the Clay character, she loved him too, and he loved her back, but it was like their timing never was right, right? Mm-hmm. And then after she was already, like, she was so sad that it was almost, it almost romanticizes the you can love someone back to life, right? Like, Clay was like, if I just had loved her enough to say something, then she wouldn't have committed suicide. But it's just like, you can't love someone to life, or you can't love them enough to make them not want to commit suicide. They have to love themselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. they have to know that their life is worth living.
Yeah, like, Clay alone loving her back would not have saved her. No. Because he is one piece of a 13-piece puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, and him, his love would not have canceled everything out.
Yeah.
Even if none of those things were to have happened, those things did not make her kill herself mm-hmm. in the true sense of the word. They are reasons that she justified it, but whether those reasons existed or not, that tendency or that depression or that mental health concern or issue or illness or whatever it was that she was experiencing was there. And, you know, as humans, we do try to find a reason for why certain things are occurring. And if this was a real situation, people are suicidal even in the best lives. And I remember mm-hmm. of a college student who was a cheerleader. She was well-liked. She was in a sorority. I mean, you think of the typical American picture of a good, popular student, and this was this girl. And she killed herself, and in her car, she left a gift for her parents, her siblings, and her grandparents. A small gift, like cookies. And mm-hmm. I was talking about this with my cousin, my little cousin who watches it, and I was like, she shocked everyone. She left a letter. She didn't blame anybody. It was just, I can't do this anymore. I'm so sad all the time, and I don't think I'm ever going to get better. And it doesn't make it better, you know, mm-hmm. but she took her own responsibility. Yeah. And whether I agree with her decision or not, it was her. And I think that that's probably where my gripe comes from. The phrase that it opens up with all the time is, welcome to your tape.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, welcome to your burden now.
Right.
Welcome to, like, the struggle that you shall face for the rest of your life.
It, mm-hmm.
Because according to what I justified, you took part in killing me.
And you know, and it's something like, I don't know. That's the one thing that kind of bothered me the most about it. It was just like, now these kids, that they have to live with that. And none of them do well with it.
Yeah.
You know, like...
You can after something.
And it's, you know, one of them actually commits suicide because of it. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, you know what? He's one of the beginning, like the second tape. And it's just like, I did it. I killed Hannah Baker. And it's just like, no, you know. It was in a bigger picture, and it's just one of those things, like, I don't know. I just didn't like it. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think it started the right conversation. I think kids are like, oh, the one Clay is so handsome. I, you know, now they're becoming the newest couple to, you know, what is it, worship or ship?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, goals, you know, like Clay and Hannah. And
oh my
I don't
gosh.
Think
how
it's
is that goals?
I don't. It's one of those things that now I see on Instagram, and I'm just like, no, like, people are missing the point. And I think it's a big thing with the show. And I'm a little disappointed with Selena Gomez, because she's battled her own inner problems. You know, she's been to rehab. She's kind of left the spotlight in some kind, you know, because of her. She was being bullied because she kind of gained a little bit of weight, so she kind of left the spotlight because of that too. And it's almost she didn't. I don't know. The show just it's just not. I don't think it's bringing the right awareness.
Yeah. Well, you know, ultimately, it's always a sensitive topic, and I can only hope that it served those who it needed to serve mm-hmm. in a way that did not exacerbate a problem, but maybe brought a certain perspective.
Yeah.
And I hope that those who need to have conversations with someone mm-hmm. Who they might feel might be struggling with this issue is doing so in a sensitive way. And maybe
yeah.
it opens up eyes to people who are seeing this, and they can probably feel, am I someone's reason? And what
yeah.
can I do to not do that?
You I know? Think that's a good point. I think I hope people who are dealing with some, you know, mental health or
mm-hmm.
Something, some sadness, or even considering it and seeing how we can take that, seeing how these kids or these 13 reasons why, how sad and how burdened they were, that you see that and you say, I don't want, you know, you love these people enough to say, I don't want to leave them with this, right? Like,
yeah.
I can, this is a temporary pain, I can, it could be better, right? It could
yeah.
be, if I just reach out to them and tell them, hey, this is what you did. You know, I was already dealing with this, and this added to that stress or the sadness, and, you know, confront that, because if they don't know, then they can't say sorry for it, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's, I think maybe the intention of the show was not geared towards people who might be considering suicide. It might be geared to those around them, you know, and maybe
yeah.
hoping, like, hey, if I can impact the problem at the root, which mm-hmm. in this place, they're not blaming the person who, like, you don't blame the victim.
Yeah.
You know? And in the same way, you don't want to blame the person who's committing suicide. So you gear it towards those who might be promoting or prompting right. this kind of negative feeling in others.
That's exactly what my dumb moment is. I have it written here. I'm like, I think this show is more about human nature.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be internal, like reflective, almost like, are you someone's reason for being sad? Not, you know.
Not necessarily committing suicide.
Yeah, but are you doing something, or you never know. The one little thing you did, like, I don't know, say a smart remark, you don't know if that little instance is part of a bigger picture at play, and that's just adding to someone's sadness. So just always try to be nice. Just be nice. I think.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, I would say probably my dumb moment obviously is very in line with that one, which is to be nice and also just to, it's what they always say. It's a very common phrase. Mm-hmm. If you see something, say something.
Yeah.
In any sense of the word, if you think that there's something that someone, maybe you're removed from the situation, but you're like, this person is behaving very negatively towards mm-hmm. this other person. I need to speak to someone that
Definitely.
I trust, you know, and don't think that one little action cannot make a difference, because we know how big,
yeah.
both in a good thing and in a bad thing, one action can be. Like yeah. you mentioned, a smile.
Say hi.
Say hi, you know, and then even a frown can turn someone else's day mm-hmm. very negatively, you know, so definitely along those same lines. We didn't want to close this episode without offering resources. So if you're someone who might be struggling with suicide, or you might be somebody who knows someone, or you yourself are like wondering if a loved one, friend, or even a stranger that you come across is struggling, please reach out.
Please.
There are free resources, and one of them is actually the Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to their website at suicidepreventionlifeline.org, or you can call them 24 hours a day at 1-800-273-8255, and they have resources for you. They have resources for a loved one who might be feeling like they know someone who might be struggling, or even for professionals who are a little confused as to how to handle these situations.
Yeah.
So this website also has information if you need help, if you want to help your local center,
mm-hmm.
if you want to join the network, or even promote the Lifeline. Once again, their phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Call, and you
Please
know that
call.
You're not a burden to anyone
yeah,
ever.
Never.
And the website, if you wanted to look, read more about it, is suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We know it was a bit of a heavy topic,
yeah.
But that's what we hope to do here
yeah.
on Demericana, talk about the fun things and our real life things that we face every day.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if you have any ideas or something you want to talk to us about, if you like the show, if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, we want to hear.
Yeah.
Also, you know, just interact with us. You know where, Instagram, Twitter, our website.
Yes. And of course, as always, please do not forget to subscribe to our channel. Anywhere that you listen to podcasts, rate and review. You have
mm-hmm.
no idea how much of a help that is to us
I
to
know.
Make sure that we're getting out there to the public.
I know, and that encourages us to keep coming back every week and,
yeah.
and posting for you, because so we don't feel like we're just talking to ourselves.
As much as we like talking to ourselves.
I know.
Well, thanks again, you guys, so much for tuning in. We'll be back soon with a new episode. In the meantime, reach out. Love you guys.
Bye.